Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Welcome, everybody, to the Prodigal Church Hour. My name is Minister Daryl Kendrick, a.k.a. Minister Big Ken, coming to you live from Southern California. It is now 1:05 p.m., the 30th of January, 2017, and it is well with my soul. It's well with my soul because Jesus is in me. He lives in me. He has given me life and life more abundantly because of the cross, because of his death, burial, and resurrection. It is well with my soul, and I'm in right standing with him. I don't boast about myself. I boast about what he did, his free gift of forgiveness and salvation to me, a sinner who has been saved by grace. Welcome, welcome, welcome this Monday afternoon. For those who might be here for the first time, hey, God bless you. Welcome to the ministry. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio and Minister Big Ken. This is a place where you can grow in God's word. This is a place where you can be encouraged in the word of God. This is a place where the word of God is the final authority. And I want you to know that anytime you can come here 24/7 and always find something encouraging for your soul, something that ministers to what you're going through. Because when you teach the word of God, when you go through the word of God, then you don't bring your own opinion. You come with objective truth and not subjective feelings. So, hey, 646-668-8468. Sorry, no live stream today for whatever reason. Sometimes I play Christian music to introduction. Sometimes Facebook doesn't block me, but then sometimes they can kind of be, kind of crazy about it by using or playing gospel music, even gospel music. I don't know what's going on, but for whatever reason, they temporarily blocked me today, but as usual, anytime you're trying to do the work of God, anytime you're trying to bring the word of God, there's always going to be an attack. I'm used to it by now. I've been doing this for about 6.5 years off and on, so I understand the enemy. I know how he works, and I know that they don't want the word of God to go forth. But nonetheless, the word of God is still going forth today, and we're going to praise him, friends. We're going to praise him because he's worthy to be praised. And we're going to get our lesson today is, basically we're talking about the seven habits, seven spiritual habits that will change your life. We're on habit number six, a life of prayer, a life of prayer. Maybe you like myself, struggle with prayer, encouraging myself as well as the body of Christ that we need to get into the 30-30-30 challenge. Well, I added another 30 in there. 30 minutes in the words, 30 minutes in prayer, 30 minutes in meditation for the next 30 days, for the rest of the year. That's 2 hours out of your 24-hour clock. We spend a lot of time, wasted time, idle time, putting junk in our minds and our hearts. And God wants us to put himself. He wants us to have him in mind. He wants us to put his, he wants us to let the mind of Christ be in us and dwell in us richly. And we need to understand, friends, that we can give him 2 hours out of the day. It's not about what time you do it. It's about doing it. 24 hours we have a day. And we spend a lot of time in front of the TV, spend most of our time holding our phones and in our phones. And if you're not reading the Bible with that or studying the Bible or listening to any Bible lessons, then how much time does God really get? He gave you the very breath that you breathe. None of us is promised tomorrow. None of us is promised the next 20 seconds. But guess what? If God allows you to live another day, if he allows you to live another 20 seconds, then we should be able to give him honor and praise by getting into the word and spending a couple hours in meditation, in prayer, in the word, and seeking God for wisdom and understanding. So we're going to be talking about a life of prayer. Habit number six. Tomorrow we'll conclude this series, but it's not a conclusion because we all need to be reminded of what we need to do as we are growing in our faith, as we're maturing in our faith. And just like I said before, I have not arrived. So this goes doubly for me. I have not arrived. Every one of these lessons that we went through, and if you haven't been here following us, go to the podcast, go to the Blog Talk Radio. All you got to do is put Minister Big Ken 65 in your browser. And you can go and listen, look on my page, and you can see these seven lessons that we're posting up. And you can be able to go back to them and listen anytime. You can copy and paste them on your page so you can share them with family and friends. and people that you might be want to encourage. But before we get started, before we go any further, let's go before the Lord in prayer and invite him in that he'll speak to our hearts and minister to our minds and hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Father God, we thank you, Lord. Again, Lord, you've been good to us. Through all the trials and tribulations, through everything we go through, those of us who are still living and breathing, we're living and breathing for a reason, that we would come to a place of understanding, Lord, come to a place of to the crossroads of our life and realize that you are the way, the truth, and the life. There's no shortcuts with you, Lord. There's only surrender and commitment. You were 100% faithful to the Father. You came down from heaven and died on Calvary's cross for our sin. And we should show that same faithfulness to you, Lord, by trusting you with all our heart and no longer leaning to our own understanding. We need to do that, Lord. We need to do it with prayer. We need to do it with meditation. We need to do it with Bible study. We need to do it every day for the rest of our lives. So right now we come before you, Lord God, to seek you for wisdom and understanding. Many of us struggle with prayer because prayer means that we have to be exposed and talk to you, and we have to keep it 100. Right now, Lord, we ask, Lord God, show us how to pray. Show us how prayer benefits our life, and show us, Lord God, how we can reap what you have for us when we pray fervently. You said the prayers of a righteous man availeth much. We want to be righteous men and righteous women for the glory of God. We say all this and we love you and praise you. And may this be a sweet smelling aroma in your nostrils this day in Jesus' name. Amen. 646-668-8468. 646-668-8468. You don't call in. You can just go to the blogcast, the link on my Facebook page. For those that don't know, you can follow me on Facebook at D Kendrick. At Facebook at Daryl Kendrick. Also on Twitter, D Kendrick SR65. You can follow me at Gmail, dkendricksr@gmail.com, at Minister Daryl Kendrick on Periscope. Most of these messages in the podcast, in the archives, are so you can listen 24/7. So excuse the fact that my live stream not working today, but sometimes, like I said, Facebook they can be kind of funny about things. Some music you can play, then sometimes they don't want you to play anything. I don't know why they're worried about gospel music. Most gospel artists want their music promoted. And if I use it as an introduction, it's not a copy or an infringement. It's not something that would be considered a copyright or some kind of violation of copyright, because I'm using it just as an introduction into a lesson. I'm not trying to sell the music. So anyway, nonetheless, I thank God that I have this on podcast, that you can go back and listen to it, and you can be built up in your most holy faith. And with that being said, quick announcement. Tomorrow, for those that might live in the Los Angeles area, some of you ladies, maybe looking for a Bible church, a Bible study for women, where women are growing in the grace and knowledge, and they're being lifted up, and they're sharing their faith with other and helping other women. I want to invite you out to our church, Core Church of Los Angeles, located at 2037 South La Cienega Boulevard, Los Angeles, California. The website is www.corechurchla.org. www.corechurchla.org. And you can, it starts at 7:30 on Tuesday nights. There's going to be a great message given by Pastor Steve's wife, Lori Wilburn, tomorrow. So please go. If you're in the Los Angeles area, if you live in the Los Angeles area, if you don't have a women's group that you can plug in with at your church, come out. And we need to get out this mentality that, oh, I got my church and I got this church. Now, I'm not saying you don't be faithful to your church. But the Church of Jesus Christ is not about a particular location. It's about people who are in Christ and in the body of Christ, and they walk with Christ. They live, they follow Jesus Christ. They're not just there in a building. They are worshipers of Jesus Christ in spirit and in truth, Monday through Sunday. We need to get out of this mentality, oh, I got my pastor, I got this. That is idolatry, my friends. I love my pastor. I love sitting up under him. But guess what? I don't have a problem going to hear another brother, a man of God, speak. I don't have a problem with hearing anybody that's teaching the word of God. Because guess what? God is giving gifted men into the body of Christ to edify and build us all up. I like Tony Evans. I like Dr. J. Vernon McGee. I like John MacArthur. I like a lot of Bible teachers. Even though they're not my pastor, I glean from them and I learn from them. And that's what we're called to do. They're brothers. And if they're brothers, I can be able to follow their teaching and still be faithful to my own pastor. So we need to get out of that mentality that, you know, this is that's nothing but idolatry. When we start saying, well, I don't go to nobody else's. I won't visit, you know, and we'll visit 1,000 churches, and we have churches come and visit our churches. But if the pastor ain't okay in it, we don't listen to him. And we need to cut that fool sound. I'm not saying you go and follow a false teacher, but I am saying that we need to be building up and lifting up and encouraging other brothers, other people who teach the word of God. We need to promote them because everybody can bring something to the table. I'm just a babe in this teaching thing, but guess what? I'm learning from people that have been doing it a lot longer. And I thank God that, you know, I just want to stay humble and hungry so God can use me for his glory. Amen. So again, ladies, if you would like to come out and fellowship with the women tomorrow, please check it out Tuesday night, 7:30 p.m., Core Church of Los Angeles, 2037 South La Cienega Boulevard, Los Angeles, California. I posted the website on my page on Facebook, www.corechurchla.org. And with that being said, we're going to get into our lesson number six. Lesson number six, my friends, prayer. Prayer for me, you know, I'm going to be honest, I struggle. This is probably the one out of all of my disciplines, this is probably the one I fall short the most in, because prayer is really about me and God versus me and God. Now, look, don't get me wrong. I can pray for others, but I have a hard time praying for myself one-on-one with God. I can't explain the root of it, but I can say that that's a struggle for me. It's been a struggle for years. Gotten better, but I haven't got where I should be at this point in my walk. I haven't got where I want to be. But I know if you're like me, friends, this is probably something you struggle with. But there's people out here who pray, and they pray and pray and pray, but they don't have a relationship with God. So that's the other side of it, is that not walking with God, but you're trying to lift up prayers to a holy God, yet your relationship with God is not in right standing. We have to be careful with that. There's a scripture that supports that. You know, let me give you this scripture. Excuse me. I want to emphasize how important it is, because you got people out there that think that they can pray to God and he's just obligated to hear everything they saying, and that is a lie. That is a lie. We want to be biblical about everything. Excuse me, I'm trying to pop this scripture up and have it up. I had to pull that scripture up. I thought I had it pop up. Anyway, we need to understand that we need to pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, it tells us that we need to pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. So that's a commandment. It's in the imperative that tells us that you and I have to be spiritually minded, walking in the spirit, so that we can pray without ceasing. Because you're not going to do this, and I'm not going to do this, if we're carnal-minded. We're not going to do it if we think it's some kind of, well, I'll pray when I want something from God, but I want to do me, I'm just going to do me. Pray without ceasing. Praying without ceasing can be a difficult concept to grasp, especially when you need to have your attention focused elsewhere. But in this scripture, it is literally saying what it means. God calls us to be in constant connection with him at all times. Prayer is more than a lifeline. It's an intimate connection between us and the Father. And, you know, that's so true because we have people who are out here naming and claiming, and they plan for things that are not about the will of God or not even a part of edifying the body. See, your prayer is not for you to get what you want. It's to be lined up with God's will and his word. You can't go around. I can't go around just telling God, Lord, you got to do this and do that, and he got to give me what I want. No, he God, I slave. He God, I slave. None of us are gods. None of us deserve anything. And if he gave us eternal life, he gave us everything that we need because we don't have to spend eternity in hell away from God. So we need to understand, first and foremost, that God is the God over our prayer. Matter of fact, the Bible says that the Spirit has to intercede on our behalf because we don't know what to pray for. Most of us are praying with carnality. Most of us are praying with attitudes of looking for what's in it for me. Lord, I want a big house. Lord, I want a wife. I want a husband. Lord, I want this. I want that. And none of those things are for edifying the body of Christ. And God wants us to be about his business first. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added to you. Until our prayer life is on track and our walk with God is on track, there will be no reaping the benefits from God until we know God and the power of his resurrection. We have to have a personal relationship with him first and foremost. If you are one of those who just go to church, you are what Tony Evans said, there are smokes or smoke. Sunday morning only Christians, S-M-O-C, smoke or smock. Sunday morning only Christian. And a Sunday morning only Christian is one that only identifies with God on Sunday morning. Yet, i.e., there is no true relationship with God because, as I've used this example many times, if ladies, if you had a husband that only come to you when he wanted the benefits of the wife, but he didn't want to talk to you, he didn't love on you. I'm not talking about physical. That's not real love. That's eros. Agape love is selfless love. That means he's loving you biblically. He's loving you spiritually. He has your best interest. Or if the woman only comes to her husband when she wants something financially from him, well, give me this and I will love you. Buy me this and I'll love you. Get me a brand new house. Get me a brand new car. Get me this, that, and other. See, that's how we treat God. We want God to throw us all the blessings from heaven because we gave our 10% to him. And our 10% tithe is just how we give of our life. We haven't given 100% of our life to him, but we think that 10% is going to really open up the windows of heaven and pour us out a blessing. Friends, if your heart ain't right, I promise you, 10% of your heart is not a relationship with God. 10% of love, of walking with God, that means on Sunday morning you give him a couple hours of the day, yet the rest of the week belongs to you, the flesh, and the devil. That is not what God desires for us, and that's not a walk with God. He wants us to have a connection with him at all times. And when we're connected with him, as John 15 tells us about, we are connected to the true vine. We must abide in him. See, the disciples had a relationship with Jesus because they spent 3.5 years with him learning what it meant to be a follower of Jesus. Through the good, the bad, and the ugly. Were they perfect? No. Were they sinless? No. Did they fall short? Absolutely. But they were growing. They were abiding. The only one that wasn't abiding in him was Judas. Judas was over there plotting to see what he can get out of God, how he can manipulate him. He sold his own soul for some silver, and many of us have sold our soul for less. God wants us to connect with him at all times. Prayer is more than a lifeline. It's an intimate connection between us and the Father. We need to attend to the Lord when we pray. God loves to hear our hearts. He is a loving and compassionate person who is always listening to you. One of the things is, in yesterday's lesson, knowing God and not your heart. Knowing God and not your heart. Don't trust your heart if your heart is not lined up with the will of God and the word of God. You cannot say, well, God knows my heart. Yes, he does. And he wants our heart to be lined up with his word. Otherwise, your heart is desperately wicked and it's still seeking its own delusion. It's basically taking you further and further away. Because, see, if we're not growing in faith, we're growing away. We're growing away. We're growing a part of the faith. God wants us to mature. The love that we have for God is going to be lined up with the word of God. And if Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey me and keep my commandments. A lot of people say, you don't know my heart. You're right. But God already told us what our hearts are. Desperately wicked, Jeremiah 17:9. Too many people are trusting their emotions and not God, not a devotion with the word of God and the will of God. He is a loving and compassionate person who is always listening to you. As it is written, eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers, 1 Peter 3:12. Let me ask you this. Is God's eyes, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. Are your eyes open to God's righteousness? Are you a righteous one? Does the Lord look at you with favor because you have scrutinized yourself? As Paul said, he says, we need to examine ourselves to see whether we be in the faith. Have you taken a look at yourself in the mirror of the Holy Scriptures and searched out and found that you are walking with God? I'm not talking about sinless perfection. I'm talking about Holy Spirit-driven direction. It's just like if you're married, you want your mate to be faithful. You want your mate to be loving. You don't want to come home to a cold, callous woman, men. And ladies, you don't want to come home to a loveless man who basically only wants to use your body, but he's not concerned about your spiritual well-being. His job as a man is to love his wife like Christ loved the church. And your job is to submit to him as God, as Jesus submitted to the Heavenly Father. So we have a role to play. And when we're doing it that way, in God's will, walking in the Spirit, not murmuring or complaining, not sitting there saying, I got to do this again, I got to cook, I got to clean, I got to wash dishes, No, you don't have to do anything, because if you're not doing it as unto the Lord, let's not even put your husband in. If you're not doing it as unto the Lord, you're not doing it at all for God. If you're not doing men, if you're not loving your wives like Christ loved the church, you're not loving. You don't love him. Many people will say all the time, well, you know, I love you. No, love is an action. It's a verb. It's a verb. It directs our walk and behavior. You can't say you love somebody and then you call them, you talk about them and tear them down and you malign them and drag them through the mud and you beat them. No, you don't love them. You don't love them. We need to understand. But it is also good to listen to the Holy Spirit when you pray. He will guide you in what you should pray. Then by praying in the Spirit, you will be praying the will of the Father. Thus we will see more answered prayers, as it is written. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. We must understand, my brothers and sisters, that we have weaknesses. We have infirmities. We go through things. But even in going through life, God will help us. He will reach down when we're in the valley of the shadow of death. The Lord is there with us. He's walking with us. He's carrying us through those trying times. None of us have been forsaken who are his children, who are part of the ecclesia, the bride, the family of God. If you're his church, then you don't have to worry about God leaving you or forsaking you. All you have to do is lean on Jesus, lean on the cross, because he carried it for you and me. The Spirit helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we are, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered, Romans 8:26. The Spirit intercedes for us as we pray, but if we are attentive to his speech, we will know what to say. Then the rest, which cannot be expressed with human words, himself will carry to the Father, even as we just read. It's important that we understand, friend. Sometimes you might be praying and crying out to God, and you're just moaning and groaning, and God hears you. He knows what you're saying, even though you're not using words, but he knows your pain. He knows what you're going through, and he knows how to heal you. He knows how to lift us up. Too many of us are worried about, like, God is missing out on something, like the all-knowing doesn't know what we're going through. My friends, he knows everything about you, even the number of hairs on your body, everything. There's nothing that God does not know about Daryl Leroy Kendrick Sr. And I need to be on, I need to stand on the word, knowing that the word of God is my bedrock for life and godliness, no matter what I feel, because feelings are subjective. The word of God is always objective. It cares nothing about how I feel, but objective truth is always going to point me to the cross. And I need to stand on that because the world is not my friend. The world is not my friend. This is just a place that we're going through, my friends, to the glory. God brought us here. He saved us. He sanctified us. And one day we're going to be glorified. One day we're going to be raised up in newness and have a new body. And I know, not only that, we're going to have a new home because this place will burn up one day. But God has promised us a place where there will never be any more weeping, sadness, sickness. There won't be any more hostility towards us. We won't have to worry about who's going to be the next president because we'll reign with King Jesus. That's why we need to have a prayer life. We need to get into our prayer closet. We need to meditate. We need to study to show ourselves approved, and we need to do it every day because God gives us breath to breathe every single day of our life. We know that we will have an answer from God because we pray according to his will. As the scriptures go on to say, now he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God, Romans 8:27. Therefore, beloved, it is good to pray in the Spirit without ceasing. If you continue in prayer, you will be abiding. God will strengthen you in your walk, and you will see him working around you more abundantly. Why? Because you are praying without ceasing. God is answering you without ceasing. Yet some people have struggled with the concept of praying constantly. This is mainly due to a lack of self-discipline. I'm guilty. Yep, I'm guilty. This is where it is. So a lack of self-discipline. Or we'll put time in things we want to. Our TV time, you know, time for this, time for that. We got our whole schedule down pat. But when it comes to time for the word, I'm okay at, you know, reading, bringing the word of God, teaching. I'm okay with those things. I could study a little bit more, though. I could study a little bit more. I'm not going to say I arrived in that. But I'm usually up every day, pretty early, you know, posting things, encouraging the body. But sometimes I'm running on E. Sometimes my tank is empty, not because I didn't hear the word, but because I didn't get into the word for myself. I didn't dig into the scriptures for Daryl, not for a lesson, but just for Daryl, so I could grow, so I could get something that God wanted to say specifically to me. And I'm guilty of not meditating, spending that 30 minutes alone with God in private, just seeking him and thanking him and just, or not saying anything. That's just time where you just listen. Listen, just listening to the Holy Spirit, listening to God speak to your heart. We all can be consumed with the cares of this world instead of the affairs of God. If you are trying to pray, also pay attention to your thoughts. Sometimes as you pray, a particular topic may cause your mind to trail off. In other words, distractions. Many times the enemy may try to bring events to remembrance and cause you and I to replay them in your head rather than pray. He says, do not let your thoughts or the enemy distract you, but by faithful persistence continue in prayer. Watch yourself as you pray and pay attention to the trail offs. If you catch them sooner, you will continue in prayer longer. Eventually, the devil will give up and your flesh will be self-disciplined enough to focus on what you're praying. As a result, it will be easier to persist in prayer, even though we are called to pray continuously. The scripture also says, do not be rash with your mouth and let not your heart utter anything hastily before God, for God is in heaven and you on earth. Therefore, let your words be be few, Ecclesiastes 5:2. If then we are supposed to have few words, how can we pray without ceasing? The answer begins in the previous verse, which says, walk prudently. When you go to the house of God and draw near to him, or to hear rather than to give the sacrifice of food, well, they do not know what they do evil, that they do evil, Ecclesiastes 5:1. Let me read that again. We need to walk prudently. When you go to the house of God and draw near to hear rather than to give the sacrifice of food, well, they do not know what they do, that they do evil, Ecclesiastes 5:1. But what are we listening for? And how can we pray continuously if we must be quiet? We are listening for the Holy Spirit, and when he lays what to pray on our hearts, then we pray. Even as we are saying before, these verses further confirm the need to sit quietly and listen to the voice of the Spirit as we pray. It also confirms that God is always speaking to you. So the question is, are you listening? Therefore, the more you sit and listen, the more you will hear the Lord. His voice will become more apparent because you have trained your ears to listen to him. His will should seem less murky because you are better able to understand what he is saying to you. Therefore, beloved, pray with a silent heart. Let God speak to us and pray what he gives you. Prayer is not one way, but it is a conversation. It is a two-way communication, and you need to learn to listen to the Spirit in order to be spiritual. We need to be constantly listening to the Holy Spirit and operating through him. It is his working in us that justifies us, not our working. When praying, do not relay your messages to God, but learn to relate to God in a relationship. We share our hearts with each other. Let him share his heart with you also. Then you will know and better understand his will in life. Prayer in itself is one of the most powerful weapons we have in this spiritual war. So true. Because, see, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. When we're dealing with things, friends, we are dealing with principalities and rulers of darkness. We're not dealing with the world, per se. We're dealing with the elements that has taken over. We're dealing with Satan's forces that has manipulated and blinded the eyes of those in this world. Because we at one time were too in dark. We were in darkness. We were dead in our trespasses and sin. But God, 646-668-8468, you can call in. It's very important, friends, that we understand that this is a spiritual walk. And we're living and we're operating in spiritual warfare. I was in Kuwait during Desert Storm. I went into a hot zone or a combat zone. Even though we were supporting logistics, we still saw the carnage of what war does. There are casualties of war, and there are people who are killed in war. We need to understand, friends, that the enemy is trying to kill you and I. He wants to not just silence us. He doesn't just want to keep us muffled. He doesn't want to keep us muzzled. He doesn't want to keep us on the sideline. He wants you and me dead. Any one of us who is working for the kingdom of God, who's standing on faith, walking by faith, living by faith, and is faithful to the King of Glory, he hates you, and he hates everything you stand for. He hates your marriage. If your marriage is godly, he wants to destroy it. He wants to take one of you out. If he can bring division in the household, bring division with your children, he'll do whatever he can to tear down what God is building up. Because God told us in Hebrews 13:4 that the marriage bed is undefiled. But what has happened, that Satan has crept into the church and came with a lie, and he told us that, hey, no, it doesn't matter if you're married. You can commit adultery. You can commit fornication. You can be bisexual, homosexual, bestiality, whatever perversion you want. It's okay with me. That's what the God of this world will tell you. Because he's a liar, and the truth is not in him. God help us. And guess what, friends? We bought into it because now, not even 2 years ago, homosexual marriage is okay. Well, it might be okay with the world, but it's never okay with the word. And the word is all, the heaven and earth is going to pass away, but his word never passes away. It's never going to change. Shame on any Bible teacher that would condone it. Shame on any pastor that would institute this lifestyle of debauchery and wickedness and sexual immorality. All sexual immorality offends a holy God. All sexual immorality tears down the very fiber of what God has built. And he said, let a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. God help us. God help America. I heard this story so many times in the past, but it just rings true right now. If God does not judge America, he would have to apologize for destroying Sodom and Gomorrah, for homosexuals, but the shedding of innocent blood. We've killed more babies in this country than any other country. We've surpassed what Hitler did to the Jews through abortions, my friends. We want to call him a monster? But this government, this country, this world has allowed the shedding of innocent blood over and over and over, and we condone it, and we say that's not a life. God help us. God help us. We need to pray. We need to pray for this nation that there would be a great revival that would break loose. We need to pray for people to turn from the world and the devil and the flesh and turn to Jesus. Because until there's a revival in our hearts, friends, it's just nothing but religion, and religion won't get you into the kingdom. 4:6, 6:8, 8:4, 6:8. He tells us, therefore, by dedicating yourself to a life of prayer, you will see the full power of God working in you and I as a way of life. You will be strengthened against your enemy, and by the Spirit, you will overcome. Yet some of us still struggle in a walk, not being strengthened. And why? Because we haven't pursued the strength of God in prayer. As it is written, yet you do not have because you do not ask, James 4:2. If you become accustomed to constantly asking, you will begin to constantly receive. Now, this does not mean you can write a blank check for your mansion down here and your Rolls Royce Bentley or Mercedes or whatever else. Look, the church is not about making rock stars out of people. It's not about making us all billionaires. It's not all about making us part of the new Shark Tank. I guess we'll call it the fish tank to represent God. It's not about us as Christians trying to look like the world, act like the world, things that the world does that are not godly. It's not about that. We are to represent and be light in a dark world. We're supposed to be living epistles that people can read. If somebody comes against you and say, you Christians, you should say, thank you, Lord, that you recognize me as a Christian. Don't get angry. Don't try to hide who you are in Christ. Don't try to run from what God has made you. Thank God for they recognize you. As I shared before, and it's been shared by other people, if you were going to be put on trial for being a Christian, would they find enough evidence to convict you of it? Too many people say they're Christian with their mouth, but they really show that they're a child of the devil with their lifestyle. They say that they love Jesus Christ with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, and they love their neighbor, but they hate their brothers and sisters because they have another color. They hate this person. They got a hatred towards this person or that person, and they try to call us bigots because they're the ones that's being bigots. I don't hate nobody. I hate sin. I hate sin in my own life, but I hate sin. And if I hate sin, I have to stand against those who practice it and try to make me believe that it's okay. I hate what they represent when they do it. I know who the real culprit is, Satan. But I can't give a person a pass and say, oh, man, you know, it's all good, dog. You know, do you. No, I'm not going to endorse somebody going to hell for their sin, for their lifestyle that goes against God's will. I'm not endorsing none of that. I'm going to tell you the truth, pray for you, I'm going to love on you, but I'm not going to compromise you, and I'm not going to sell your soul. I'm going to pray that God, if he has to chasten you to the cross to come out of that foolishness, that you come out of that foolishness, because I love you that much. true love tells you the truth. It doesn't stroke you and pat you on the back all the way to hell, friend. True love tells you that that's not right. Oh, if I tell them, they're going to stop being my friend. Oh, well, who do you want, a friend with Jesus because you stood on the word? Or you want a friend that you can lie to, that you're going to tell a lie to, and then you're going to compromise your soul? But God hates liars. Yet what we receive may not always be what we desire. We having two natures do not always desire the best or the most spiritual thing. Remember I shared before, too many of us are asking for things that's going to perish and not things that are laid up for us in heaven. God will always give us what is best for us, but if we pray for worldly things, it doesn't mean we will receive them. But as a perfectly loving Father, God will give you and I what is best for our spiritual growth. Learn to have a heart of gratitude and prayer. If God answers you and didn't give you what you wanted, but something else, thank him for it. He is giving you what is best out of love. And think of it, the almighty, eternal God, the all-consuming Father who dwells in an unapproachable light, took the time to care about you, about your needs, and answer you. He is in his sovereign and glorious nature. He still counts you as something worthwhile. Who are we that we would care? Thousands of kings have risen and fallen and have never cared about a soul. But he does. And we should be grateful for everything he does. Therefore, show gratitude and persistence in prayer. God will give you what you need. And as a result, prayer will be a conduit of strength for you as God answers. By prayer, you will grow because God is leading your heart and giving you what you need to draw near to him. By prayer, your walk will increase and you will become a greater light. See, we have to understand, friends, that again, our prayers are for tearing down the strongholds of the enemy. You want to know why you can't move forward a lot of times? We're not moving forward. It's because we're not tearing down strongholds that are taking us captive. And I'm not talking about taking your salvation, but they keep you in idleness, or they keep us away from encouraging and building up others. Look, when you're discouraged and you're focused on the discouragement and not the God of encouragement, then guess what? You can't be an encourager at that time. You can't be one standing on the word of God because you're too busy having a pity party in the pit of sorrow. But God did not save you for that. He wants you to rise up. He wants you and I to stand up because we have everything we need to live a godly life, including the opportunity to pray down strongholds that the enemy is trying to take us out, keep us idle, keep us ineffective. We are soldiers on the battlefield, God, and we must understand this is a warfare. If you're retreating, you're not believing God by faith, because our God is leading us down the battlefield, and he's got his sword in his hand, and he's taking them out. All we need to do is be standing, riding behind him by faith, trusting God by faith that he has us. He said he would never leave us or forsake us. Why don't we believe that? Have we not read our Bibles enough? Have we not been in the Word enough? Have we not truly believe by faith that God has saved us and he said he would never leave us or forsake us? Not only that, he said, I will be with you always. Too many of us are being taken captive in our thinking, stinking thinking. The Bible tells us clearly, do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. We have everything we need, friends. Prayer. Prayer is a tool that we have to be able to do damage to the kingdom of darkness, because the enemy knows when we pray, not only pray by faith, but living it. You have to have a lifestyle. You're not going to pray to God and live heretical, live apart from him. You're not going to pray to a holy God and you're not walking with him. You must pray fervently. You must have your relationship. And he's unconfessed sin. You're praying, Lord, forgive me. I fell short. Forgive me, Lord God. I need you to wash me clean. David showed us the greatest prayer of repentance, Psalms 51. Let's go there right quick, Psalm 51. Just for those who might think, well, you know, no, David is an example of somebody who falls, but God picks you back up when you turn to him. When you turn to God, when you turn to Jesus, you can believe that God has you. He will not leave us in the pig pen if we really want to if we want to go forward. You want to stay down in that pig pen? You ain't going to blame God for it. That was your choice. What did he say in Psalm 51? Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. This is a prayer now from David of his fall. Remember, he did a great sin, a grievous sin. He had someone killed. He took another man's wife, coveted her. You might say, oh, well, God didn't kill David because God knew David would come back. God knew that David was going to turn back from his sin. Some folks ain't coming back. Some folks ain't going to never repent. He says, have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. He's not saying, like, God, you didn't see it, just pretend you didn't see it. No, David had to suffer the consequences. There was much affliction upon David because of his sin. His own son, one of his sons raped his daughter, his half-sister. Not David's half-sister, but he raped his half-sister. One of David's sons raped his half-sister. I mean, violated her. One son tried to kill him. Saul tried to kill him. He had many enemies because of his sin. But yet, David returned to God. He says, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. David is not sitting here saying, Lord, you know, well, if I did do anything, you know, go ahead and handle that. Go ahead and handle that. No. David is humble during this time. He's coming to God with a humility. He's not coming like, yeah, well, you know, I'm doing the George Jefferson strut, like, because I'm moving on up. No, this man was humble, and he saw his sin for what it was. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Lord, I'm naked and exposed before you. I see what I did wrong. I see the pain I caused. I see that I took another man's wife. I need you to, he says, for I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against you, Lord, only you have I sinned and done what is evil. He's not hiding his sin. He's confessing it. I've done evil in your sight, God. And I need your healing hand. I need you to wash me. I need a bath in the Holy Spirit. I need a bath in your righteousness, in your forgiveness. Many of us have violated and done wrong in God's sight. Many of us have turned our backs on God. Some of you right now have walked away from God some years ago, and I'm here to tell you that if you can do just like King David, and you can return to the Father's table, to the Father's house, you can be loved on today and receive his forgiveness and mercy. If you just say, Lord, I give up. God, I give up. I've blown it, but I give up. You can pray a prayer like this. You can give up and say, Lord, I know I'm not worthy. I know I'm filthy, but God, I need you. And I'm asking you to forgive me and restore me in right standing with you. Just striving to be what you want me to be. No more me fighting against you. I surrender all. You can be forgiven. You can be forgiven, my brothers and sisters, if you just trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You just call out to him. Don't let the devil trip you up, making you think that your sin is so grievous and so horrible that you can never be forgiven or restored. I don't care what you did this morning, the last hour, but right now is all that matters. Are you ready to surrender your life and trust Jesus Christ? Trust Jesus Christ by faith and ask him for forgiveness of your sins. Maybe you've been doing religion all your life. You've been in one of them boogaloo churches, feel-good churches, make you feel good. seeker friendly. I want everybody to be my friend. I want everybody to just be friendly to me and tell me what I want. Just pat my back and tell me how I'm a good person. I need a stroke. I need my ego stroke. So I need a seeker friendly church. How about finding a church where Jesus is at? Because God didn't save us so that we can get accolades. He saved us because we needed to be washed. He needed us. He needed for us to surrender. He wants us to bring him glory. He wants us to start to live out our faith and walk by faith. In closing, friend, a life of prayer makes a stronger, more spiritual Christian. A life of prayer makes a more stronger and more spiritual stronger spiritual Christian. 4:6 tells us this: do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. John 15:7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Again, that's not a blank check to get what you want. You're abiding in him, so the Spirit of God is in you, and his will is given to you by the Spirit, not by you. Not wrong asking for, you know, Lord, I hope one day I can buy a house. Lord, I hope one day I can buy a nice car. Lord, I hope one day to be able to provide something for my children, to leave them something. Lord, I pray that I can start all over. I messed up in my finances back here, but it's not too late for you to help me, Lord, and resurrect those finances. That I want to be a good steward, a wise steward. Lord, I need your help, though, because I'm an ignorant person when it comes to this, but I know that you can help me. There's nothing I can do. I need the Spirit of God to give me wisdom and understanding how to be a better steward of my finances so that I can be a better steward to you, so I can glorify you with my money. Oh, man, we don't ask God for stuff like that. We ask him for the money, but we don't want to ask him, Lord, and I'll do what you want me to do with the money. No, we don't tell him that. Mark 11:24, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Many prosperity teachers have taken this and made a blank check, and basically now they want to tell God what he has to do for them. And they've still yet to get they've yet to get any of this stuff, except the ones that stand behind the pulpit and pimp them for more money. They tell you if you sow into their ministry or into this ministry, it's on good ground, good soil, and guess what? It's going to reap back to you tenfold. Yet most of those people in those churches are still broke, busted, and disgusted and still waiting after 15 and 20 years for their house, a decent car. Friend, let me tell you this. God ain't just throwing out money to people that don't work, people that's not faithful to him, people that's not worshiping in spirit and truth, people that's not walking right with God. God ain't throwing out money like that. The devil will throw out money to you like that because he wants to keep you in darkness. He wants to keep you deceived. He'll even raise up a group of prosperity pimps that have a pulpit that will lead you down the road to self-destruction, because these guys work for Satan. And remember this. Hear this very carefully. The very thing that Jesus was tempted with in the wilderness is the very thing that Satan is using from the pulpit now, my friend. Prosperity. He wants to give you the kingdoms of God. He wants to give you all the things that your deceptive heart wants. Because remember, Jeremiah 17:9 says the heart is desperately wicked. Who can understand? In other words, who can trust it? But God says, I know it. I know exactly what your motive is for wanting this, that, and the other. I know exactly what you're seeking. And if you're not seeking him with a pure heart, you're seeking with a perverted heart. God help us. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. See, if we're not listening to God, we'll hear whatever we want from the God of this world. If we're not really seeking God, we don't have a relationship with God, and we're not truly seeking the true and living God and his will and desire, we'll go around and the God of this world come in there and basically say, yeah, you could have this. You want a bunch of women? You want a bunch of this? You want a bunch of that? You want to be immoral? You can do whatever you want. Because, see, money now has become, in the church, in the quote-unquote church, especially in America, in the Western culture, money has really become one of the tools that people justify. Well, the wealthier you are, you must be spiritual. I guess Jay-Z is spiritual, too, who calls himself Jehovah. Kanye West is spiritual, too, and he just had a nervous breakdown. And his wife is basically, you know, looking around for a new boo. Dating somebody else probably already. See, when you're not walking with the true and living God, you can't pray to God. You can't pray to God. When you're not truly serving God, God's not hearing you. He's not hearing you. He's not hearing none of us. When we grieve and quench the Holy Spirit, the only thing God wants to hear from us is, Lord, forgive me. I blew it again. Lord, help me. I've walked away from you again. I've turned my back on you again. We need to be very, very careful. Too many of us are being taken captive. Taken captive by false doctrine, false teaching. And we need to understand that the God of creation did not save us to give us the kingdoms of this world. He didn't save us to make us rich like Solomon. See, matter of fact, he told us the contrary, that nobody would ever be as rich as Solomon on this planet. He tells us this. He says, when a man's ways are pleasing to God, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. When you're walking upright with God, even your enemies will humble themselves. They will fall down before you. They will turn from evil to giving you love. You need to understand, friends, time is running out. Time is running out on this side of the cross. Romans 8:26, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Matthew 6:7, and when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. That's what we do. You got a lot of folks that go around acting real spiritual. Father in heaven, we just claim this and claim that, and we just stand. We're just going to tell God what he's got to do for us. God says, I'm not listening to none of that foolishness. That's nothing but flesh and carnality. Prayer is communication with God. Communication with God first starts with a relationship with God. We need to understand that we must be in right standing with God, and we're only in right standing with God when we have been born again. John chapter 3 tells us, unless a man is born again, he or she will not inherit the kingdom of God. They won't see God. Don't be fooled. You can't say a prayer and ask God to come into your life, and yet you kick him out as soon as you want your sin, as soon as you want to do the world, the flesh, and the devil. Jesus said, you're either for me or you're against me. For Jesus doesn't mean that we can do what we want to do anymore. The Bible tells us we've been bought with a price. Our bodies don't belong to us no more. It belongs to the temple. We are the temple. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So maybe you've been doing things backwards. Maybe you've been following in one of them churches that makes you feel good, even in your sin. And they tell you how you can get blessed by sowing into the ministry, opening your wallet and giving an offering, or giving your tithes and triple tithes and all this other stuff. And you're not going to buy your way into the kingdom. You're not going to buy your way out of hell. The only way you and I can be in right standing with God, to where our prayers are being heard by God, is when we are crucified with Christ. And we no longer live for ourselves, the flesh, or the devil, but we live for the one who bought us and who is now seated at the right hand of the Father, and his name is Jesus. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your mercy and grace. We thank you, Lord, for the death on the cross We thank you, Lord God, for showing us how important it is for us to get in prayer, meditation, seeking you and hearing your voice through your word. All of these tie into having a fervent and effective prayer life. You tell us to pray without ceasing. That means we don't have to be on our knees 24/7 to pray. We can pray anywhere we go. We can pray in the classroom. We can pray on the play. We can pray on the playground. We can pray in our schools. We can pray wherever you're at. In Starbucks, you can have a moment of prayer. Because Lord, you hear it all. We should never be ashamed to lift our voices to you or to pray to you. We should never be fearful of what the devil thinks about our prayers when we know you in the power of your resurrection. Only thing matters, Lord, do you hear our prayers? Are we in good standing with you that you hear us and that you receive our prayer? Lord, we just thank you. We pray, Lord, this message not just go over our heads or go under our legs or go in between our, but it would go in our mind and it would resonate there, and that we would walk in newness. We would have a new prayer life. We would really work on our prayer life, work on having a proper attitude about prayer, that we make a point to spend time with you in prayer, in meditation, in your word for 30 days, 30 minutes a day, 30 days. Thank you for your mercy and grace. We ask all things. We ask, Lord God, that you receive it in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. Hey, real quick, if anybody wants to call in, if you want to comment, if you want to, if you want prayer, you need prayer, if you want prayer for anything, call in right now, 646-668-8468. I would love to see at least one person call in and just, you know, hey, let me pray for you. Maybe you're going through something. Maybe you need some encouragement. Maybe you need to just know that God is forgiving you. Maybe you've been struggling with your walk. Maybe you've been away from God for a while, and this message has ministered to you and called you, it's brought a conviction on you. Conviction is a great thing. Why? Conviction brings us to the cross. Conviction brings us to our knees. Conviction brings us that we may be crucified with Christ. God loves you. He loves you. I don't care what you've done. I don't care what you've done. Right now, you can get right with Jesus. Right now is the time you can get right with Jesus and you can start afresh, anew. The devil keep you out. Tomorrow's not promised to us, friends. Tomorrow is not promised to us. Only thing that is promised is when you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you have eternal life. 646-668-8468. 646-668-8468. You need to understand, friends, God is patient. He's long-suffering, not desiring that any should perish, but all to come to repentance. What is repentance? Repentance is a 180. A 180 from the direction you were going was hell, and a 180 away from hell back to the cross, back to the loving arms of Jesus. You got to surrender. You got to do what David did. Confess your sin. Confess it. Tell him what he already knows. I don't need to know it. All you got to do is confess what you've done to God. It's your relationship. It's your relationship. We're going to have a quick song, 646-668-8468. If anybody wants to call in, get the opportunity to call in. And we're going to have a quick song while we're waiting. And then we're going to close it out if nobody calls in. Amen. Hallelujah, friends. Well, I don't see any phone calls, so we're going to go ahead and close it down for this message And I want to just thank those for that did listen. I had a new listener today. I know for sure, you know, just say, hey, thank you for coming out and supporting this ministry. Pray for us as we pray for you. Most importantly, friends, let's apply the truth and watch what God does in our lives. Let's let the word of God dwell in us richly and let him make a change in us. You got nothing to lose if you're not. If you're not benefiting now from God, turn to God. Watch him change you. Watch him resurrect you, make you into that man or woman of God that he's desiring to do. God will do abundantly, exceedingly, over anything that you could do if you just give him the opportunity. If you just let him be God in your life and allow him to use you and mold you and shape you into the man or woman of God. A lot of you ladies want husbands. God is preparing, wants to prepare you to be a wife before he gives you a husband. A lot of you men want wives. He wants to prepare you to be the man of God, before he gives you a woman of God. So we want anything from God. We have to put in work and fix ourselves. We have to get our life in order, examining ourselves, make sure that we're in right standing with God. Hey, I'm Minister Daryl Kendrick coming to you live from Southern California. It's now 2:18 p.m. Again, the day is the 30th of 2017, January. And I just want to thank you. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. Please share this link. Put it on your page. When you go to my Facebook page, put it on your page. Share it on your page with other friends. Hey, let them know that, hey, there's a lesson. Tomorrow we'll be finishing up tomorrow's lesson. As I said before, tomorrow's lesson is tomorrow's lesson. We finish up lesson 7. Devoted to sanctification. It's going to be a powerful one, friends. What does sanctification mean? Set apart for God. We have to be set apart for God. We cannot be consumed and entangled with affairs of this world. You see a lot of folks right now, they so consumed with who's in the White House. We need to be consumed with who runs the house, the whole house, the whole world, the big picture, God Almighty. He's sovereign over everything. So don't miss tomorrow's habit number 7. This is about change 7 spiritual habits that will change your life forever. If you apply these 7 habits, you're going to have a change in your life, and others are going to see it. Sometimes we the only Bible they're going to read, friends. If you cussing and fussing and talking crazy, they don't care nothing about the Jesus that you say you serve. Amen? Hey, y'all have a blessed day. May the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you. In the mighty name of Jesus, be blessed. And look for me later today. I might be able to get back on the live stream on Facebook. But if nothing else, I'll put it on TalkShoe. So, hey, may the Lord bless you and keep you and be with you this day. Amen.